Blog Talk Radio.
You don't know how my soul jumping right now, bro. I'm not even. I listened to that song about 5 times, but anyway, hold on. Let me do the intro for a minute. And then, woosa. Good evening. This is Brother Kenny Hodge, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio, and as always, standing tall on the spot. I got my big brother with me, Brother Messenger. How we doing tonight?
Bless my brother, bless.
Man, before we even go any further, man, I would be remiss to myself as a human being if I didn't acknowledge my mama singing, opening the podcast up. Now, again, my mama, 81 years old. No, how old mama now, bro? 81, 82?
80
years old? Okay, I'm just giving her years. Yeah. See, that's right, because we just had her birthday party. But, yeah, mama used to sing that song, and mama still sing that song. And I changed that to our opening song because, again, that's what I was raised in. So by me making that our opening song, I want to constantly send a reminder that I'm not saying that it's bad, organized religion, because it's some beautiful music. I'm just saying it's not the way that you need to travel to get to God. That's all we're saying. And if you understand that and still want to participate in organized religion, then be my guest. But I just want you, don't want your work to be in vain, even though it can't be in vain. I just want you to know. Go ahead, brother.
Let me just correct you on that. It's just once we understand that any way you take, my brother, you're going to get there. So what we're really telling you is not something that's mandatory. But if you want to go sit up in the church and all that stuff, that's fine. Nobody ain't mad at you. Just want you to open up your eyes to understand that it's not necessary, because you are destined, predestined from the beginning of time, that when this earthly body shall no longer be, your spirit and soul goes back to the Father from which it came.
Yeah, but that's one of them songs, man. That I'm still on the opening song. That's one of those songs that song is just do it for me, man. But it just touched me on the inside. Like I can't even really explain. But
I can tell you why,
why I'm touched now, though. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I want to let you know this. Because of the fact that one of the things we have a tendency to think, because this is what they taught us, is the fact that it's so much about the preaching. And it really isn't about the preaching. Once you come to understand just who God the Spirit really is, you'll understand that that is energy, vibration. It is energy, the Spirit. And if you stop and think about music, what is it? It's vibration. It's movement. It's the energy as well. And this is why music, as that old saying goes, soothes the beast. or whatever, however that go. This is why. This is taking this lesson to a whole nother level, but this is why music, and when you go to church, this is why music is such more relevant to the service than the actual preaching. But once again, they've got it twisted, thinking that that man up there making the noise and shouting out all that stuff is what it's all about. God's word, as David said, is hidden in your heart, because that is where where God resides, within the inner you. So his word is coming from him. It's not coming from that book.
Mm. I just think about it. When you get up and go to church and go to service, what you're really doing is you are. And again, there's only one Bible. So the sermons that you hear are the same sermons that you're always going to hear, because they never add or take, you know what I'm saying? It's always the same
right,
thing. So my thing is, yeah. We are never going to talk about the today God. All we're going to continue talk to you about and educate you on is that God from thousands of years ago and how to please him. What about the God that's here right now?
That is so important, and that is correct. It's funny you should say that, because as I talk to my granddaughter and I explain this to her, she likes to call it the new God. She likes to call it the new God. She said, "No, I'm with the new God." But what we have to understand is that new God is the same as the old God. It's just that we put the old God in a box, and we didn't allow him to be God. But we're taking him out of that box, and this is why he seems, as she would say, the new God. But what you said is correct as well, today's God. Because our eyes are beginning to open up, our understanding is better, and we don't have to rely on what someone 500 years ago told us. Not when he lives inside of us and he's talking to us each day. I don't need to rely on what, as much as I, and I know that grandma and granddad meant well. But we know that their education and their understanding and their ability to learn and see other things were very limited because of the environment in which they grew up in. And so it was only certain things that was pounded into their head for them to believe. And because they were able to make it through slavery up until sharecropping, until their kids coming up to the North, since they were able to see that, that's what they rested their laurels on as far as God being God. But that's what God is. And if they would have known better, they could have gotten even further.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I've said to you many times, a lot of stuff that we do it by the grace and the strength that God has given us through ourselves, but we don't understand it, or we don't see it that way. We think it was some mystery force somewhere far out that did this for you. But once we understand that we have at our disposal this entire universe, we have the power to control it per se. And what I mean by that is when you speak things, you're speaking it into the atmosphere. And when you speak it into the atmosphere, then it becomes a command for the universe to do for you. But you have to understand that you have this authority. And you say, well, I speak these things and it don't happen. It's because we have to look at it this way and understand it. We speak things into the universe, but before the universe can gather up everything and get it going so that it can come to you, we change it. And now the universe got to do a U-turn and start all over again and try to decide how is it going to get your request to you. But because we keep changing it, it can't get to you. Believe in your heart and doubt not. When you don't doubt, that means the universe got a direct path to you because you're not sending it any mixed signals.
Amen, brother. Amen.
I didn't want to take it to that next level yet, but it's time for us to better understand it. And by just us saying, letting us know that we have God in us, we've got to also learn and understand how we are able to use this gift that God has given us. The same way God controls the universe, because you are a part of God, you have it. And I'll give you another good example. Do you remember the story? Do you remember the story about Jesus on the boat?
When the Peter winds walked on the
and
water.
All of that stuff. No,
oh,
not when he walked on the water.
Peace be still.
Peace be still. Who was he talking to? He was talking to the universe. And the winds died down when he said it. Because we do have this power. We have this authority that we can do this. We just have to believe it and know it. And when we come to know who we are, then we will believe it. But right now, if they thought I was crazy before, they really think I'm crazy now. But I'm telling you that this is what we have to, when we start to know who we are, then we can begin to put these type of practices into use.
And just knowing who we are, knowing who we are is going to be, it's like when you just begin to, before you fully know who you are, because again, I still search, but before you, once you decide to get on that journey to oneness with yourself and understanding your power and your authority, again, a lot of things change for you, man. A lot of things change for you because you find out that, again, you don't have to be, because you are on, because you now understand and are ready to cultivate your personal relationship with the Creator, again, that doesn't make you less than fun. That doesn't make you somebody who is going to allow people to walk over them. And a lot of times people get that mixed up.
That's right.
Because I'm a child of the King and I follow his ways. Oh, he given me a lot of skills. A lot of skills.
Yes.
And all of them are not conversation. And all of them are not knowledge. He can be physical skills also. And I don't say that in any other way other than I mean that.
That's right. That is correct. Because you got to remember, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And who are you? You are part of the Lord. So guess what? That fullness thereof is you as well. And people have experienced it. There have been times where you've heard a story about a lady lifting a car up over her child. People might think it's crazy, but this is what can happen. At that time, that woman knew within her heart the only way she could save her child was to lift that car up. And she didn't think twice about it, and she just lifted. And the car got out, and she was able to do it. This is what I meant when I say these signs are right before us and we're doing it, but we don't pay attention to it. Because we're so warped into that sense that we can't do nothing. But then we turn around and say, we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. And he strengthens you because he's inside you, working with you. Just as he's doing every single day. It's just that we just don't acknowledge him. And because we don't acknowledge him, he's waiting. He ain't going to force himself on you. That's the purpose of free will. All you got to do is ask. You ask and I'm there. You don't ask, that means you don't want me. You're going to do it another way. I'm all right with it. You're just doing it the harder way or a different way when my way is easy. This is the message that Jesus told us. But we don't want to try to comprehend that because we think that that's so much bigger than us. But Jesus wasn't bigger than us. He was just more knowledge of, he just had the knowledge of who he was or who he is. But we do have to understand this as well. Jesus had the knowledge of who he is, but Jesus was still human. So the same things in which we struggle with during the course of our life, Jesus struggled with them too. Not as much as we did, but he struggled with them too. And then what we like to do is we like to switch it and say, oh, he was in the flesh when he did those certain humanistic things. And that's just like us. We're in the flesh. But when we get in the spirit, we are just like Jesus. And Jesus told us this. I'm not making this up. Jesus left this on record for everybody. But they don't want to believe that part.
No, everybody like to believe the hard stuff. The stuff that's, because again, and that's no accident, again, because you've been conditioned. If it wasn't a big production around it, then God couldn't have done it. Because he don't just, you know, because we've been taught that, oh, he just don't come in and make a soft appearance and take care of business. No, he's got to come with a big production. And again, and because of our conditioning, we miss a lot of God's glory. And it's right here in front of you. And when I say we miss it, we just miss recognizing it, but we can't stop it from happening.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is 100% correct. We miss recognizing it because it's happening all around us every single moment of the day. And we take for granted, you know, the activity of our limbs. We take that for granted. But that's a miracle. And if you don't think it's a miracle, check with that person that only has one leg. Check with that person that doesn't have the ability to use their fingers or their speech. And see what they tell you. But just as you said, my brother, we take it for granted because it is just there, as we would say, naturally. But it is just the grace of God that is working within us. And that same grace is applicable to everything here on earth. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There is no exceptions in fullness. Fullness is everything. You pour soda into a glass, and everything in that glass is soda. The fullness of that glass is soda. It ain't certain things that ain't soda or part of the soda mixture. It's all one. But we can't wrap our minds around that because, once again, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And that's one of the biggest lies that was ever told. God did not make a mistake when he made us. How can God be so perfect in everything he do but creating us? And not only us, how can he make a mistake? Well, here's something I think we were discussing in our production meeting. When God created, according to the story, and I want to tell you, I don't truly believe it, but to hear people say it, I want to know, how does this make sense? God created the angels, according to the story, to praise him. Now, God being God, he don't need nobody to praise him. He don't need it. It just isn't so. But according to the story, the angels were created just to praise God. That's what he made them for. And then all of a sudden, he made man. And he loved man more than he loved the angels. And the angels got jealous. How can an angel get jealous if that's what they were created to do? Can your car get jealous because it can't fly?
No.
It was created to drive on the road, not to fly in the air. And how can your car just automatically decide, you know what, I'm not driving on the road anymore, I'm flying now? Because remember, we created the car, we made the car, and God, according to the story, created the angels just to praise him. And then God went and created, according to the story, two people, a man and a woman. And because he created a man and a woman, they got so bent out of shape that there was a revolt in heaven. Because the two people, Adam and Eve, there was a revolt in heaven. Now, remember, because you can't forget this, that this is all the angels were made to do, was to praise God. So if that's what they were made to do, how can they all of a sudden say, I'm not doing that anymore? How can they do that?
It can't happen.
Come to me, brother.
It can't happen. I mean, you know, but I was having a conversation tonight, and you and I've had this conversation. If it is commanded by God, how can anything but take place? If God tell me that you will never stand up again, how in the world can I stand up? If God tells me, thou shalt not kill, how can I kill? How can I cover it? How can I cover it? How can I have another? You know, so these are, I think, again, these are man-made laws that may have been necessary to provide direction and guidance. But they knew at that time, in order to make that direction and guidance really stick, I got to bring it to you in the form of, this is what God wants for you. And me not being a person who reads, and again, I say me as in generations of people. Deeper into it, we bought into that. But I'm here to tell you today, that's not what God wants. I don't believe, and again, I can only tell you what I believe and what my soul says. I don't believe that's what he wants. You just think about it. If you look at it on its core concept, you're talking about God is a man, or God is in a spirit who needed to be praised. So he created all of this just so he could be praised. Now, all I'm saying is, if he was the dynamic creator and his goal was just to be praised, I'm just going to throw this into the atmosphere. Why not create 1 zillion people to every day just praise him? That's all you did.
Well, according to the story, that's what he did with the angels. The quote-unquote angels, that's what he did. He created them just to praise him. And then all of a sudden, they got jealous. Now, where did jealousy come from? Because he didn't create jealousy.
He created
praise. So how can they get jealous? But we're to believe that because of two people, Adam and Eve, because that's all it was, Adam and Eve, right, according to the story, which we know isn't true as well, because that's just not physically possible. But anyway, according to the story, because of these two people, the angels, that all they did was praise God, had a problem. Now they didn't want to praise God anymore.
So the angels told God, you got some new people?
Oh, okay, and then they have the nerve to say, okay, well, since you love them more than us, what we gonna do is we gonna take them from you. Think about that.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you tell a story like the story was told, that's the end result. I mean, that's what the message was.
That's right.
But we don't stay, the minister can't stay on that message, because that message would ask questions like, wait a minute now, hold up. So God, first of all, you can challenge God? No, you can't challenge God. You can get mad at a set of circumstances, but you can't challenge God.
Did they make a movie, Your Arms Too Short, The Box with God?
That's right. All day, every day.
That's right. Every day.
Yeah.
And so this is what kind of really vexes me, is because we know this, but we don't do it. And inside John, I can't remember the actual scripture, but it says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you know who you are and you begin to walk in it and who you are, you will be happy because you don't worry about anything else. Why? Because you know when you walk with God. What more better thing is there to be? Walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. And that means any security guard, any security detail there ever could be, walking with God.
But you know what? It's funny you hit that verse, because if you bounce that verse and that concept off of today's orators or ministers, whatever you would like to refer to them as, they would tell you that the people have changed. People are more vicious now. You know, there's reasons why, because again, when you get the minister today, you get his entourage, and most of them have security. And I got to tell you, now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. If you really, really, really are a man of God after God's own heart, do you not think that God protects you? But what the minister says is, or excuse me, I won't even say the minister, what the person, the public speaker with the entourage says is, God's given me enough common sense to have people around me.
So the people that he put, he didn't give Jesus enough common sense to put the right people around him. But you extra special, so now he going to tell you the right people to have around you. But quote-unquote his only begotten son, he just let a bunch of knuckleheads roll with him.
Hey,
is that what we're saying?
Well, I said the son just shined on me when you said that, because I'm thinking, if I am a true Christian, as in one who follows the examples of Christ, then I should expect one day for somebody to roll up on me because one of my deacons done told on me to have my life taken. If I'm a true follower, because that's how he lived. So if I'm a true follower, and again, I'm just putting it out there, I should expect
right,
that
exactly.
to happen, because
uh-huh.
that's what happened to the master. So watch it. So for me to go that way, if that's the way in which the master went, that should be exalted. I'm just saying.
That it has to go that way because that's the way the master was exalted. But they understand that the master was exalted, but the master went before, not I won't say before his time, but the master did something out of love. Because once again, when Jesus died, Jesus' death did not save us.
No.
Jesus was hoping that through his death, we might come to know who we really are, and then that way save us from unnecessary trials and tribulations, but
yes,
save
sir.
Us as far as being in the kingdom. Jesus, it's already done. It's already done. It was done from the beginning of everything. And when you, once again, it all comes back to knowing who it is that you truly are. And I've put this out to numerous people to try God. Try. He even said try it. But they want to twist stuff up. Try God. Try God. The only way they want you to try God is by giving them your money. And see, won't he open up the windows of heaven? That's the only way they want you to try God. But I say, no, try God and see if today isn't a better day than yesterday. As I said so many times, money, wealth, power, and fame, that's all great. But if I'll tell you this, if you find 10 really rich people, now that they've gotten to that status because all they ever really wanted was the riches, when they get to that status, they don't even care, well, because they have it, but they don't care about the riches anymore. All they care about is the love amongst them and their family. So what we could do And if we do this, what it does is it moves things in a quicker way for us. If we start focusing on the love first and
yeah.
not be as concerned about the riches will automatically come. And we don't have to worry about it not being enough. Because there is more than enough of everything here for us.
Because when you get in contact with yourself, you'll find out that maybe I thought I needed 100, but really I need 1. So if I've got
that's right.
7,
that's right.
I got more than I need. Because again, because you now look at things differently.
That's
now
right.
You appreciate it differently. Hey, but you know what, Brother Messer? What I'm going to probably try to do is I think maybe about 2 weeks from now, we're going to go ahead and advertise that. As we grow this ministry, we'll have a podcast where we open all the phone lines up. And as we grow this ministry, we just encourage people to just call in and again, your testimony about what God did for you today, just today. Not yesterday, just
uh-huh.
today. And if
That's
he just
right.
woke you up, I mean, again, so in other words, we start our ministry off as we start, not start it off, but we start to build it and let folks know that this is a ministry of today. Again, we're not going to really harp on the story. Now, again, we will share a lot of Jesus' teachings, again, as a prophet and as a man who connected with God. But
uh-huh.
our ministry, again, it's a today's ministry. Let's talk about God today. And we don't want to get bogged down into every time we get together on a podcast, I'm trying to preach to you from 2 Timothy, from Romans. No, I want to
right,
preach to you
exactly,
from this book
right.
called The Book of Life, this book of today,
and
what happened this week.
Right, bro. You don't know it, but you just said a poetic word just now. The book of life, because that is what God is. Life. You can replace anything you want that they say with God, and you can put life there because it is the same.
Mm.
It is the same. And that's why I said we are all one. Anything that has life is part of God. Anything. And that goes for the plants, that goes for the trees, that goes for everything, anything that has life. You cannot have life and not have God. It's just not possible.
Amen, brother. Yeah, we're gonna put that together again, because again, I want folks to grab a hold of the ministry and understand that just living and just enjoying your life and letting folks know about your life, good, bad. And again, all stories with God don't have to be, I woke up this morning and I hit the lottery.
Right.
How about I woke up this morning and on my way to my car, I seen a homeless person and I reached down and picked him up and helped him stand up. That's God at work. Again, you don't have to
that's
give him
right.
anything. He was bent
right.
over, couldn't stand up, and I lend
right.
a hand to help him stand. See, that's God
that,
at work.
That's right.
Those are the kind of testimonies that I'm going to encourage folks
right.
to call in. And again, let's start sharing. Again, today we call it the ministry of today. Let's start sharing that with people and let them know it don't have to be anywhere near as organized as most of your life you've been taught. It's just about it is.
It what?
It is. It is what it is. You do whatever it is that you do.
I just need you to say that one more time. It's what?
Oh, it is what it is. That's it.
It is what it is. And who did God say he was?
I am that I am.
God said, I am that I am. It is what it is. And if you remember a couple weeks ago, I spoke about the isness. It is what it is. And if it isn't what it is, then it isn't. And I know it sounds, but it isn't. But if it is, it's God. If it isn't, it isn't. That means it's nothing. But anything that is God. It's deep, but it's going to come to you, bro. It's going to come to you. Whoever's listening, it's going to come to you. The isness. What you said is so profound. The isness. The I am that I am. And what am I? I am everything. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. How much more clear can you put that? Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and everything in between. That is who he is. They quote that scripture all the time. They say it all the time. But why is it so hard for them to believe it? But you can believe where somebody told you don't eat no pork. Even though God said everything I made was good. But somebody said don't eat pork. Or somebody said don't eat shrimp. And you believe that. But God said that I am that I am. The earth, this whole thing is me. And the fullness thereof. So if it's all him and the fullness thereof, and you are a part of it, what does that tell you? I mean, isn't that simple, my brother?
He said it would be so simple that a fool couldn't mess it up, but we're trying real hard.
We're trying real hard, aren't we? And all we're doing is making our days less enjoyable than what they can be. And you know how some people say that every day ain't going to be Sunday? Every day can be Sunday. It just depends on how you want to look at something. Do you want to look at it just because you made a left turn and you really meant to make a right turn? Do you want to look at that as such a bad move? Or do you want to just, since you made that left turn, experience what it is there and get back to where you need to go? Then that doesn't make that wrong turn a wrong turn anymore. And it is just that simple. When we see somebody out on the street, don't make them out to be the bad guy. Make them out to be someone that chose a different path than yours. You may not want that path, but that does not make their path as bad as you want it to be. Because that path serves a purpose for somebody. Maybe not you, but it serves a purpose. So if it serves a purpose, who am I to say it's bad? I can choose not to take that path, but it's not for me to denounce it as bad. It's how we've been taught to look at things and accept things instead of looking at it truly from the Spirit of God, instead of the Spirit but the thoughts of man. Even though, once again, the Word tells us God's ways are not like our ways. But everything that we do, we're placing that upon God. I just can't understand. And as I said to you, I don't know if we've had this conversation, but you know good and well, bro, there's some brothers and sisters out there that can get on a dance floor and dance they butt off. And I say that because I'm not one of them. But they can dance their butt off. Where do you think that gift came from? So if it came from God, why is it all of a sudden that dancing is so bad? That's the way we see it as bad, right? You can't do that and not serve God.
Well, again, because dancing was one of those things that when a certain group of people came here, I mean, they tried to rob us of our language and our land, but there's certain things that we bought here and that you couldn't rob. And so since I couldn't take it, I got to demonize it. And that
and
goes back a long way.
We buy into it.
Yes, we buy into it.
No, but we buy, and we're still buying into it to this day. And this is what we have to stop doing. Because people, I mean, before, quote unquote, people got saved and came into the church, they used to go out every Saturday night and, as they would say, shake a leg and have one of the best times of their lives.
But church told them it's wrong.
But then they,
yeah,
they told them it was wrong, and now they don't want to do it, even though they had a good time with it. But church told them it was wrong, and they don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is, if you really think about it. This brought me so much joy. It didn't. It wasn't bothering and hurting nobody. But somebody came and told me that it was wrong, and so I'm going to stop doing something that pleased me. And probably the person that told them was wrong can't dance anyway. So they don't know the feeling. They don't understand the joy that you got out of that. But you let them talk you out of doing that. As Brother Malcolm would say, that's just not intelligent. But we've done it, they've done it under the mask of fear. That was going to make God mad. How can you, who God has given free will, make him mad? If God knew that you were going to do something to make him mad, he wouldn't have gave you free will.
But the writers would have you believe he gave you that free will because, what's it, he'll get you back. Think about it.
Right.
He'll get you back. You do something to piss me off. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that's what you want to do? All right. Watch this. Guess what? Because you pissed me off, right? You're going to spend eternity in hell because you pissed me off, man.
So, but tell me this. How is it free will if you give me free will to do whatever I want, but if I don't do what you want me to do, then I'm going to, quote unquote, hell? Is that really free will? And then they like to say, well, you got a choice. Yes, he gave me a choice to live my life however I want. Not, and when he gave us free will, he didn't put any requirements on it. Because if he put requirements, it can't be free. It can't be a free will.
Yes, sir.
But we accept this even though it makes no sense to us. And we do, and we're doing it.
That's because when you say we accept it, I mean, and again, I speak as one who is you know, shaking off those that cloak of those shackles currently. But when you are raised, when it is embedded, it is so finally interwoven into the fabric of our everyday lives, our essence, that you don't shake that easy. You have to hear that truth more than once for you to stop and think about it. You know what I'm saying? So I mean,
I know exactly what you're saying because I deal with it daily myself, so I understand what you're saying.
So you know, again, you just got to keep the truth in front of them until they're ready to open up and receive it. Because if I choose to believe in the Immaculate Conception and things of this nature, then that's what I believe. And if I believe that, then I'm going to believe the rest of the stories that come with that. You know, if I believe that on the seventh day, God rested, like he was moving planets around physically, you know, he took each star and instead of thinking it into existence, actually placed it there. See, if I believe that, and it's so funny because I tell you before, one of the ministers of Brother Chandler Owens from the Church of God in Christ, he used to preach a sermon, and he said, if you can believe the first verse in the Bible, then you should have no problem believing anything that come behind it. Brother Owens, I now speak to your spirit, and I let you know I no longer believe that. Not so much the first verse. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. But now, as we start to go down a little deeper around, you know, the end of the first chapter, that's where it gets a little sketchy. But yes, I do believe God created the heavens and the earth. But the manner in which they wrote about, I don't believe that. I just, my heart won't allow me to believe that. You put God in a time zone. You was no, it wasn't. You were not even thought about, but you wrote about it. Yes, sir.
Let me just throw this at you, just to confirm what you're saying. You have to understand, if anybody don't believe me, do research and find out exactly when did time become recorded. Time became recorded by man because so that man could determine the distance between point A and B, not God. Man decided that, okay, when the night come and then the sun come up again, it's a new day. Not God. God just put this stuff into being. Time is of no importance to him. When all eternity is yours, why do you need to know when May 23rd is?
Yeah.
So even that part has to be challenged because God said, okay, on the first day, I'm going to do this. And then on the seventh day, I'm going to rest. When technically, God just said, this is it, and this is it. You can't in one breath say just how magnificent, all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-knowledge that God has. And then in the next breath, break them down to a human status. You can't keep doing that. You can't have it both ways. Either he's God or he's not. And he did not need 7 days. Why would he need 7 days? Well, he wasn't in no rush. Well, he wasn't in no rush because time was not important to God. And it still isn't important to God. It's important to us. And you know why it's important to us now? Because this body that God gave us, this body was designed to live much longer than what it is. But because of our gluttonous and stuff of that nature, we have weakened it. And the body still does all it can to keep going. Because you can't find a better architect, a better creator than this body that he's created. Think about it. Everything on this got a purpose. Everything. Now, you don't think it does? Cut off your pinky and realize just how important that pinky was. Cut off your ear. See just how important having two ears really is. Everything. And your inside organs, the way that they work. Man, that's a work of art. That is a masterpiece. And it was all designed by God. And we want to talk about miracles. Just look at ourselves. We are miracles. And then he made such a special specimen. And then you mean to tell me that he didn't know what he was doing? We just got out of control? Look, they say in the Bible, how long did Methuselah live? 900 or something years. How long they was talking about Sarah when she was ready to give birth? She was way up there in age. Because the body was designed to live longer. But we, because of our free will that he's given us, we've done some things to knock down the time span of this body.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But we were created to live much, much longer just in this body.
So that's why when we hear the stories about people giving birth late in life in the years, I mean, you know, again, understanding that the calendars were different, but it's very possible that they were giving birth in their 70s and 80s.
Without a doubt. Well, think about it. What's going to live, quote-unquote, 900 years?
Who that, Methuselah?
I'm quite sure. Yeah, I'm quite sure stuff didn't shut down in the first 100 years. Not when he lived another 800.
Yeah, it's some. Yeah, like I said, it's some stories out there, man. But you know, like I said, I just want to always make sure that we continue to bring it back, so that we constantly let people know, man, that the power of the Creator that's in you, and again, you alone can control your destiny, and if you choose to congregate in the organized arena, well, then just be aware of what it is that you're doing, and also know that you, if your real goal is to be godly, then you could probably do a whole lot more just doing a whole lot more. I'm just saying. Sunday morning. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying?
Hey, that's pretty simple, bro. That's pretty simple.
Instead
right
of
on the money, pretty simple. Yes.
Instead of sitting up in here, if I'm going, watch this now, if I'm going to dedicate my time, instead of sitting up in here listening to old history stories, but again, depending on the charismatic level of the presenter, same story told a different way. If I'm really, really want to help somebody, why not just go minister to somebody, go help somebody? When I say go minister could be pick up a spoon,
yeah, right.
maybe help somebody collect them aluminum cans that they live off of. You
right,
know what I'm saying? If that's how you want to live, if that's the choice you made. Now, again, it doesn't mean I have to go in my pocket and give you my money. But guess what?
That's right.
I'm going to help you in some way. So guess what? If you want to go pick these cans up, come on. I'll go with you for about a half hour, and maybe we double the amount of cans. That's ministering to people. So,
what do
the disciples
say? The two disciples said, my brother, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I'll give to you. And that's a word. Yes. I got a word from God. I can give that to you. So if we take the focus off of money, but then we've got to understand that we have the money. God has blessed us with the money. We need to be able to bless someone, as we've had many lessons before, and it's about being the source. If you're the source and you're being the source, and what I mean by the source is being the provider, you know technically you ain't nothing except for the God in you. So if he has enabled you to be the provider, you be that provider, because if you notice, there is a feeling that you when you give from your heart, and you know that you are truly helping someone, and you're not expecting anything in return, there is a feeling inside you that you get that is even better than having the money. And actually, it's a feeling that makes you want to have more money so that you can give, because that's what you're really trying to get, that feeling, that connection to God. So we don't have to be afraid of giving. We're just saying, don't feel as if your giving is a requirement to get into heaven. Because heaven and hell is right here on earth. It is not a requirement. Giving is part of your human nature, your spiritual nature, because that is what God is. Giving, caring, and loving. So when you do these things, this is why you have that feeling, because you are connecting to the source. And when you connect to the source, if the source is giving, your connection to the source is going to increase the connection. So whereas today you gave so freely somebody $20 and you gave it out of the pureness of your heart, not expecting anything, but knowing that this is who you are, truly are, next time, because of that, you'll be able to give $20. Next time, you'll be able to give $40. This is why it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is why. When we're doing it from the pureness of our heart and not looking for, like, some kind of telemarketing scheme. I give you $20 because I'm going to sit back and God's going to give me $40. That's not how it works. But you give me $20 knowing good and well that it might have even been your last. But knowing that the brother needed it and I wanted to be a blessing to that brother, I guarantee you it will return back to you tenfold. This is being connected to God. This is doing the will of the Father. That's what it's all about. It's not about making prayer service on Wednesday or Bible study here or there. Why do you need to study the Bible when you have God in you? Instead of going to Bible study, I say go into your little closet, meditate, and get more in tune with God. And see which one gives you a better result. Getting in tune with God or understanding the writings in the book. Which one is going to get you closer to God?
I hear you, my brother. Was that a question, man? were you waiting for a response, Brother Messenger? Because I just thought it was rhetorical.
Well, no, not from you, my brother, because I know you know, but I wanted to leave that there for a moment just so that whoever might listen to this during the course of their week or something, they can stop and reflect on it and better understand what it is that we're trying to say. Yes, it is more blessed to give than receive, but it's not required because Malachi has said, you robbing God. Who are we that we are have any kind of ability to rob God?
Well, we like that guilt. We like that guilt. Yeah, let me make
guilt.
You feel sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, God has been good to you, and he blessed you with a high-paying job where you got funds coming in, and they got you feeling guilty? When technically now, you got to understand you working for this money that you're getting. Now, you're getting more than others, but you're working for it. And they slip the guilt trip in you that they ain't doing nothing and automatically getting 10% of it. That's not how God works.
Hey, listen, my brother.
Let me just say this real quick. That's a sweet hustle. That's a sweet hustle if you think about it. What is the difference between the church and their asking and the government and their taking? What is the difference? The government just takes it. The church just scared you to give it to them. But the government just take theirs, and the church scared you into giving it to them.
So as they say, fair exchange, no robbery, right?
There you go.
Fair exchange, no robbery, man. Oh, man.
So they want you to believe, but it's robbery.
Oh, yes, it is. And again, hey, listen, we have the 90-second mark. For the show, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Again, you can still download the show from Hodge to Hodge Blog Talk Podcast Radio. Brother Messenger, as always, I enjoy talking to you. We're going to continue to share God's word and try to encourage people to seek God out for themselves, and you leave all that other nonsense alone. Let's say goodnight, Brother Messenger.
My brother, I thank you for this platform that we can get up and share the word with those that might find it in their heart. And there's going to be some that come here that don't even know it, but God is sending them. This is how he works. He's sending them. But I'm going to send a request out that those that might happen to hear it, please, one night, or if 11 o'clock is too late for you, leave us a message so that maybe we can one day, we'll change it. If the demands require it, so that we can be able to have some participation, so that other people can begin to talk, and we can all begin to share the glory of God, because it just wasn't given to me and my brother. It wasn't. You guys got it. You just have to be able to open your eyes to see it. And I pray that you would consider it and call in and let's have some meaningful dialogue, discussion, no arguments, ain't nobody right or wrong. But just have discussion so that we can all better understand and get to know the Father.
Hey, so on that note, I'd like to say good night. Our time is up. And we'll talk to you on Thursday night, 11 o'clock. Love you, my brother.
Love you, my brother. Peace.
Peace.